Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, Japan gets knocked up. It's okay, the summer is almost over. And Abby Jacobson. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Fun show for you tonight. Japan is faking a pregnancy. Donald Trump needs a mole removed, and New York wants you to commit murder. Plus, our guest tonight is the one and only Abby Jacobson. So, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. All right, people, I'm gonna be honest. With all the news that happened today, I don't think we have enough space for it in the show. I tried everything. I even tried putting it in the suitcase and standing on it, you know, like, so it closes, but the news just kept getting caught in the zipper. And so I'm sorry, but we just don't have time for it all. Fortunately, not enough time is just enough time for a segment we call Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. Kick things off with the ongoing saga of Donald Judeo-Christian Trump, who earlier this week was rudely interrupted by the FBI when he was trying to hoard classified documents. And there's still a lot we don't know about this raid. What did the FBI find? Why would Trump be keeping these documents in the first place? Has Trump secretly been able to read this entire time? But now, we may be getting a little more insight into why the FBI moved in on Mar-a-Lago.
Tonight, brand new reporting about what led the FBI to execute a search warrant Monday at Trump's Florida home. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the feds may have gotten a tip-off from an insider after officials visited Mar-a-Lago back in June to ask about government documents possibly stored there. Someone familiar with the stored papers told investigators there may still be more classified documents at the private club.
Trump World is now reportedly trying to figure out who flipped. According to Rolling Stone, Trump is worried that he may have a rat or multiple rats in his midst. He's wondering if his phones are tapped or even if his buddies could be wearing a wire.
Oh, no. One of Trump's friends could be wearing a wire? This is the worst possible scenario because now he's got to tell Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon to take their shirts off? Just be like, take it, you know what, on second thought, I'll just kill myself. And if this is actually true, I am gonna be shocked. I cannot believe someone would betray Trump's trust like this without getting a book deal first. You're leaving money on the table, people! What are you doing? Also, by the way, before MAGA World tears itself apart trying to figure out who's the rat, I think you should all consider the fact that Trump could be the leak, okay? No, because if there's one thing we've learned over the past 7 years, is that he's the king of snitching on himself. Yeah, for all we know, he was bragging about it at the Mar-a-Lago buffet. He's just like, this chocolate cake is almost as unforgettable as the classified documents I keep in my basement, but not a single person knows. It was the perfect crime. By the way, that's a real picture of him at the buffet. We didn't create that. There are many pictures of him at the buffet. Now, if we had more time,
We could get into how Trump has had such a tight hold on the Republican Party that they're willing to put him above the law. Or we could talk about whether Merrick Garland unsealing the search warrant will convince Republicans that this search was justified. But we just don't have the time. Because while Trump is fighting off the FBI, two former Trump officials are trying to dodge Iranian assassins.
Turning to a story overseas, a member of Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard is charged in an alleged plot to murder former National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Investigators say the alleged murder-for-hire plot began to take shape after this drone strike in Iraq assassinated top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani over 2 years ago. Iran vowed retaliation. The Justice Department is now charging Shahram Pourzafi, a member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, with offering $300,000 to murder Bolton.
The FBI also alleges that Pourzafi had a second job for $1 million. The target of that job? Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, that's right. America assassinated Iran's top general, one of the country's most respected and feared men. And Iran responded by trying to kill John Bolton and Mike Pompeo? It's not the same level. It's like if your wife slept with your best friend and you're like, oh yeah? Well, I hooked up with the IT guy at your office. Okay. You know, in some ways, it actually says something about how divided America is. Yeah. That it has nobody as respected as Soleimani was in Iran. It feels like if anyone got assassinated in America, half the country would be like, hell yeah, thank you, Iran. And by the way, just as insult, $300,000 for Bolton, but $1 million for Pompeo. You know, that's a big difference in price. I almost feel bad for John Bolton. Because I don't know what's worse, being on an assassin's hit list or having the assassin find you and the assassin jumping out like, John Bolton, Petar Sag, I'm looking for a more important person to kill. Do you know where I could find him? Yes, yes, point me in the right direction. Also, by the way, if Iran was willing to pay $1 million to kill Trump's Secretary of State, they should have just asked Trump to do it. I mean, he was gonna get his vice president killed for free. Come on, people, think about it. No, but for real, I do feel bad for John Bolton. I mean, yes, he's always trying to bomb every other country. Yes, he brags about overthrowing governments. But being hunted by the Iranians can't be fun. I mean, it definitely explains why he's wearing that stupid fake mustache the whole time. It's real. Oh, sorry. My bad. Now, if we had more time, we could talk about how America sees nothing wrong with assassinating foreign officials whenever they like, but acts surprised when other countries want to get revenge. You should have turned the other cheek! But we just don't have the time, god damn it! Because while Iran is trying to get rid of people, Japan is trying to figure out how to add people to its population. The only problem is who they put in charge of that.
Japan has replaced the female minister in charge of reversing the country's falling birth rate with a man who has never had children. Masanobu Ogura said he gained an understanding of the issues facing expectant mothers by wearing a simulated pregnancy belly for 24 hours, telling reporters that wearing the 16-pound prosthetic left him with sympathy for women and back pain.
This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. If having a big belly helped men understand women, the patriarchy would be long gone. What are you talking about? This is the dumbest thing ever. All it left me with is back pain. Also, like, what a bitch ass. One day, and he was like, oh, my back. Now, aside from trying to miss Doubtfire their falling population problem, Japan is trying everything to figure out why their people aren't having more babies. And look, I'm not a scientist, but if you ask me, maybe it's because they invented the PlayStation. Yeah, that thing has prevented more pregnancies than every condom, diaphragm, and IUD ever made. Ever. That's real birth control. Yeah, just people be like, all right, baby, you ready to have some sex? Oh, we're gonna have some real sex tonight. Girls, come. All right, let me just finish this mission. Oh shit, I just unlocked the RPG. Yo, boys, get online. We're going all night. Baby, you're probably gonna wanna live the rest of your life without me. Yeah! Now, if we had more time, We could talk about how Japan is a warning to every developed country in the world that if your immigration policies are too restrictive, at some point, your population is gonna collapse. Or, if we had time, we could have so much fun talking about how Japan basically has a secretary of raw dogging, which is wild. Like, what does he do? Send the army to, like, snipe holes out of condoms? I would love to figure it out, but ain't nobody got time for that because we have to go to a break. But before we do, we have to check in on the weather with our very own Desi Leidick, everybody. Desi, you gonna tell us about the weather?
Yes, Trevor, let's talk about whether a man should be wearing a fake pregnancy belly. Let me just say, as someone who has been pregnant, I can tell you the belly is only 10% of the full experience. It'd be more realistic if he wore the fake belly and then got punched in the dick for 36 hours straight. And then that dick got ripped off. And then he had to raise that dick for 18 years. Ah, the miracle of life. But at least he's trying, though. And that goes both ways. I've always said that, which is why I've been trying to understand the male experience better by acting like a man. Like, I've been getting paid more for no reason. I have, like, 3 friends named Kyle. I'm talking a lot about Bitcoin, even though I don't know anything about Bitcoin.
Wow, Desi, it sounds like you're really...
I've been interrupting people more. Getting really good at that.
Well, great. Well, maybe...
It's easy once you get the hang of it.
So if
all you have to do is wait until someone starts talking, and then you start talking.
Desi, I know what interrupting is. It's when you speak on top of somebody else.
Actually, Trevor, it's when you interject before someone's completed their thought.
Desi, stop mansplaining to me! Just get to the weather!
Okay, all right. Calm down. Don't act crazy. Told you you should smile more. Give it a try. Give it a try. Let's see those dimples.
You know what? I'm just gonna need a moment. So let's take a break. Desi Leidick, everybody. Desi Leidick. And when we come back, Ronnie Chang will prove why summer is terrible. So don't go away.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. You know, there's so much arguing in America today. But we here at The Daily Show think there could be even more. So, to do our part, here's Ronnie Chang with another installment of Prove Me Wrong.
Ice cream, vacations, long walks on the beach. I hate all that shit. Welcome to Prove Me Wrong, Summer Edition.
Summer is the worst season, prove me wrong.
Well, I would say summer is the season where everyone's the happiest. During the summer, everyone gets to come outside.
Everybody's shirt turns into a Rorschach test.
But during the summer, when everyone's sweaty and gross, everyone's sweaty and gross. We're all equal during the summer.
So you're making a Marxist argument for BO during summer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, sorry. This is the free world. The top 1% should not have BO.
How do you smell?
Go ahead, smell me. I dare you. Smell this shit right now. Okay.
You smell like me. See, we're the same.
That's not a compliment. Pools are better than oceans. Prove me wrong.
Pools are stinky. They have nasty people that go in there. They just get in with their funky bodies and their sweaty cells and just plop up in there.
Yeah, you think people don't pee and poop in the ocean?
It's not just people, by the way. Oh. You think whales are coming on land to take a shit?
Yeah, if they want to.
No, they're not. They're shitting in the ocean, okay? It's whales, it's jellyfish, it's seals, it's octopus, it's every f***ing thing in there just shitting into your mouth. Oceans are just pools that are trying to kill you. Do you have any shark sightings that have been here this last week? There's five.
Like, did you see the shark?
No.
Interesting.
Oh, so your argument is I didn't see the shark, so therefore the ocean is safe? Good luck out there.
I've never seen a shark at the beach myself.
So what, you're a shark denier?
Can't get food from pools either. There's no fish in pools. Yeah, but in the ocean, I'd be sustaining myself.
Yeah.
Fresh coconuts, fresh fish.
You can't eat anything near the ocean. The sand gets in it.
Protein.
Put your money where your mouth is. This is food.
All right.
This is your food on the beach.
Do it.
Not good enough for you? Okay, I got some bad news for you. There's no protein in sand. Get the f*** out of here.
All right.
Thanks for the fries.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
Pigeons are better than seagulls. Prove me wrong.
Pigeons are literal like rats with wings. Genetically, they used to be white, but then out of like Darwinism and like after all these years, they actually turn black to adapt to like certain environments. And they're so gross.
Why do you have to make this racial?
We're
talking about pigeons versus seagulls, not why are pigeons black. How much InfoWars do you watch?
No, but it's like just over time, like they start genetically, they used to be white, but genetically, over time they like.
People have been canceled for less than that. Popsicles are gross, prove me wrong.
Why are popsicles gross?
I don't need to watch someone fillet a dessert. Eating ice cream is gross enough, but at least you can't deep throat it.
I'm sorry, it prepares you for life. That's a lot of work. And there's lots of instances where you have to do things similarly to eating a popsicle.
Do you work in show business?
No, but popsicles are good, man. You got all different kinds of flavors.
Like what?
50-50 bars. You got an original popsicle, you got bomb pops.
None of those are flavors.
Okay, so you tell me what flavor that is.
This is grape, and I actually really love grape. Everybody hates on it, but it's so good.
Grapes don't taste like that in real life, okay? The guy who created the flavor grape clearly has never had a grape before.
Yeah, see? No, that's... You ate it like a pelican. You didn't even chew it. How did you do that? It's sticking to your beard now. Oh.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, see, that's... No, man. Popsicles aren't gross. You are gross.
What's wrong with what you got against popsicles?
They're messy. They make my hands sticky.
Why? You don't eat it fast enough?
Yeah.
Can't put it in your mouth fast enough?
No. Why don't you demonstrate right now?
Ugh. Yeah. Okay. That's very experienced.
Look, no mess. Look at it. No mess. You ever still have my lip gloss on.
Okay, you know what? That was actually, as much as I want to hate on that, that was actually pretty impressive. I feel like you actually did prove me wrong. So you know what?
Good? What's happening?
All right.
Is that what I win?
You get to wear the golden thong. You have now earned the right to take my place.
No, I'm good.
Behind the prove me
I'm
wrong.
I'm wearing my own thong.
Oh, you've clearly proven me wrong.
That golden thong.
That's what
thong
happens
is...
when you prove me wrong.
No, it's okay.
You have to take over. No, you gotta take my place now. It's like Highlander. You're right, now take my spot.
Thank you so much for that, Ronnie. All right, stay tuned, because when we come back, Abby Jacobson will be joining me on the show. Don't go away.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Writer and producer Abby Jacobson. She's here to talk about co-creating and starring in the new series, A League of Their Own, which will be available to stream August 12th on Prime Video. Please welcome Abby Jacobson.
Hello.
show.
Thanks for having me back.
It is so good to have you back. Last time you were on the show, we were talking about the end of Broad City.
20 years ago.
It feels like that.
It does feel like
it
that.
It really does feel like that. What I didn't know was you were already embarking on a new journey to start League of Their Own. And I love how you've taken a movie that's a classic and turned it into something that's super current to what's happening today, but it feels like it's very much in touch with the original.
I love to hear that. Yeah, it is it's quite a classic. It's people's favorite movie. It's a lot of pressure.
It is, though. It was huge.
It is. It's one of my favorite movies. Yeah. It's why we wanted to do it, but, you know, it was made in 1992.
Right.
It's a two-hour film. This is a TV version. We have a lot more real estate. And we wanted to tell a lot more stories. There's a lot of things that Penny Marshall hinted at
yes.
in the film.
Yes.
That it's like alluding to
things. I feel like she had to do that, though. But what's great is that the story talks about everything. It talks about sexuality.
Yep.
You know, it talks about acceptance. It talks about, you know, even that little nod to, oh, segregation. It's like you've got the fight for women's rights, but it's
yep.
like black women are often excluded from that conversation.
Yep.
And now you've gone, I'm going to bring all those conversations, but I'm not going to allude to them.
No, we're going full on.
I love it.
No alluding. Yeah, I mean, women playing baseball, I think some of them are going to be queer, I think.
Yes.
I think so. And none of them were in the film, even though it's like this kind of iconic gay movie.
It
somehow,
really is.
But there's no one's gay in it. Rosie's in it. Not. There's mm-hmm, little mm-hmm, touches.
Mm-hmm.
And the more research we did, the more we found out that this was a really queer league. And queer people didn't just show up at Stonewall. Like, we've been around forever. And so the more research we did about queer culture in the 40s, which just like was so exciting to dive into those stories. And then there is this scene in the film that you all know as well, which is an iconic scene where there's a foul ball and a black woman picks it up
yes.
and chucks it back. And
right.
it's like, she has a great arm. And then that's truly it. If you blink, you miss the scene.
Yeah.
It's so short. And in 92, I think Penny couldn't tell that story as thoroughly as we can now. And so in that league that the film features, women of color were not allowed to try out. They weren't
right.
allowed to play.
Right.
And so in this show, we find out, well, what happens when that door opens for my character and a lot of other white women and white passing women to get to play in that league, and what happens when it closes. And this other main character in the show, which you're all gonna find out when you watch the whole thing, finds her own team, and her character's loosely based on these three women who played in the Negro Leagues.
Right.
Toni Stone, Mamie Johnson, and Connie Morgan. So once we found out all about them, that was the most exciting part to tell their story.
I think you tell it well. I think it's really funny. I think it brings so many stories together. One of the most amazing moments for me, you know, you say the word research a lot, and I hope everybody understands, you actually did research the league itself. You talked to women who played baseball. You
yeah.
talked to them about their experiences. You had one of the most amazing moments where you shared the fact that you're queer with a baseball legend.
Yeah, Maybelle.
Yeah, and she came out.
Yeah, so again, we've been working on this since 2017, and research was such, like, every iteration of the writer's room, the department heads had access to all the research, and so in doing that, we met a lot of the players from
uh-huh.
the league and a lot of other softball players that are still around, and Maybelle Blair, who was consulting with us on, like, the baseball part, you know, Will Graham and I, who co-created it with me, we had a drink with her. She has this like dive bar down in California that she loves, and she brought us out to like a 5 p.m. dinner. She's 95.
She's 95.
She's
years
95.
Old. I think this is crucial for people to remember.
Yeah, she's 95.
This is a late
yeah.
night. You're 95
yeah.
years old.
And so we were like, we got to bring this part up. And I was like, you know, I'm queer, Will's queer. I was just like outing us all. You know, I feel like that was missing from the film. Like,
uh-huh.
There had to have been queer characters. Do you feel like that was missing from the film? And she like took a breath and was like, well, you know, I'm gay and I've never said that to really anybody. And queer is not a term. She was like, that was a slur
right,
for a very long time.
Right, that was a slur back then, yeah.
And so she told us about 4 years ago, but we just premiered at Tribeca in June, and she came out on stage publicly.
That is amazing.
And
that is amazing.
And I mean, she's 95.
Right.
And it just shows, like, these stories we're telling in the show, I just feel very proud to be showing this kind of representation, because I mean, it took her it was an incredible moment, but it also took her to be 95. Yes. So that shows how dangerous and it was to be queer and still is to be queer, mm-hmm. and how important it is to show these stories. So
I think that's what makes it so powerful is, you know, you use the comedy to get us in, and it's a really funny show. I hope everybody like watch it for that reason alone if you want. It's super funny. But the reason you're gonna stay is because there's so much heart. It like talks to the precarious nature of being queer and how you can and cannot exist in certain yeah. spaces. And then it talks about everything. It talks about like how women have to like sort of step out of the spotlight when the men are like, we're coming back to take our league. It's,
yeah.
it's a really funny show. I think you've done a great job. I hope it goes on for many, many, many seasons. I hope we just see you again with more and more and more
back,
and more.
Come back a couple months.
Yeah, just keep coming back. Thank you so much for joining me again. It's been wonderful seeing you.
You too.
So much fun. Abby Jacobson, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you again.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Until next time, stay safe out there. And remember, your best friends could be wiretapping your conversations.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.